Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series on financial stewardship. This is now the eighth day of my teaching on this, and we are just barely getting started. I tell you, I think it's very appropriate to be teaching on it this time. The very first teaching in this album that I have that's entitled Financial Stewardship is about how that you have to have the attitude of a steward. Recognize God is your source. It's not your money. It's God's money. It's God's talent, God's ability, God's health that has given you whatever you've gotten, and therefore it's God's. Pray about it. Be led of God. And if you would approach finances with that one attitude right there, drastically, it would drastically change your actions and your results that you're getting. And then the second thing we started talking about is in Luke 16:10, where Jesus said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, but he that is unjust in that which is least is unjust also in much." And in the context, that's talking about money. Trusting God with your finances is the least way that you can trust God. And if you can't trust Him with your finances, then you can't trust Him in other areas. That leads to a conclusion. Then does this mean that if I'm not trusting God in my finances, then I'm not really trusting Him in other areas? And we use Mark chapter 10, where Jesus used that exact same logic to show this rich young ruler who proclaimed that he was trusting God and that he was serving God. But the truth was, God was his money. And the Lord told him, "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and then come follow me." And this man went away sad because he wouldn't do it. He could not abandon himself to trust in God alone. Now, those are some amazing statements that I've just made. And statements that go against most people's attitude about finances in America and in the Western world, where money has become a god and we trust and live for what it can produce. Now, God knows that you have needs and He wants to prosper you and take care of you, but there is a godly way to prosper and an ungodly way to prosper. And if you are doing it God's way, then you will follow His instructions, which is about tithing, which is about giving and trusting Him. And so after Jesus had said these things, and after this rich young ruler went away grieved, look at what the conversation that Jesus had with His disciples after this. It says, "Jesus looked round about and saith unto His disciples." Now remember, the context of this is He had just told this rich young ruler to sell everything he had and come follow Him, and he wouldn't do it. And immediately after this, as the rich young ruler was walking away from Him, Jesus talked unto His disciples and said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Man, that's a message that you don't hear much about today. How many times have you heard somebody preach that people who are wealthy have a hard time trusting God? That's what he's saying. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? You know why we don't preach on this very much? Because the truth is, we are very rich. We're rich compared to most people in this world. You know, just recently I did this series on our television program about Uganda. And when I go to Uganda, when I go to other places, I remember the very first time I went to India and saw extreme poverty. Like, I was in Bombay, and outside of the place where I was staying in Bombay, there were people just laying on the sidewalk. You couldn't hardly walk anywhere without stepping on a person. There were people who didn't have a place to live. They were sleeping on the sidewalks and they just laid there. And every morning they'd come by with wheelbarrows and just pick up the dead people, put them in these wheelbarrows and take them off. People were just dying like flies. There was poverty. People weren't eating. The first time I'd ever been exposed to that kind of poverty. You know what? There is a large percentage of the world that's the way that they live. If you're watching me on television, you know what? You're considered a cut above a lot of people just by the very fact that you have a television. The truth is, the reason we don't hear much preaching on this about how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven, because the truth is, most of us have riches. This isn't saying you can't be born again. You can't have a relationship with God if you have money. It's just saying that it's a hindrance to you. People tend to trust in themselves when they have the wherewithal to do things on their own. You'll find that a lot of people, when they're poor, turn to the Lord because they know that they need help. Life is a challenge. Eating is a challenge. Having a home is a challenge. Things are beyond them. They know that they need help, and so it's easy to reach out and cry out to God for help. But you take people that have all that this world has to offer them, and they can go out and do things, and they can buy things, and they can indulge their flesh. That numbs them to God. They come into the self-deception that, well, I'm okay, I can survive. They don't realize that these physical, natural things aren't what satisfies. People who have money tend not to trust in God. They tend to trust in themselves and in their money and what it can do for them. That's what the Lord is saying. And look at the reaction of his disciples when he said this. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them. You know, this was a hard statement. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? The disciples were shocked at this. It says they were astonished. And instead of Jesus, you know, this is one of the things I love about Jesus, is because he just was truthful. He didn't pan to people. He didn't have to have people's approval. He would tell you the truth. There was no guile. There was no hypocritical attitude on the inside of him. Jesus, if he would have been like ministers today, and if we say something like, I guarantee you, I've said enough on today's broadcast that if you were to have somebody in the mainstream media listening to what I'm saying and just looking for something and picking it out and taking something out of context, I've said enough today to keep people busy for months criticizing me and saying that Andrew said this and blowing it out of proportion. You know what the typical minister today does? We're so afraid of people's rejection and criticism that we would go out of our way. If our disciples said, what are you saying? We'd say, oh, well, now let me explain. This doesn't mean you can't be born again. Doesn't mean you can't be in relationship. You just can't put more faith in money than you put in God. And we would spend 2 hours, 3 hours defending ourselves and trying to explain. How did Jesus respond when his disciples were just astonished? He went on and he answered and said again unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Instead of Jesus, you know, backing up and decreasing this and making it a little bit more palatable, he made it even worse. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know what? That's impossible. That's a strong statement. I've heard people, in an effort to explain this, go to great detail to say that in those days in Jerusalem, there were these massive gates that they had for fortification, and they had opened those by day. But then at night, they would close the big gates, and inside of the large gate, there was a smaller gate that just like a man could walk through, and that was called the eye of the needle. And so for a camel to get through, of course, if the big gates were open, they could just walk through. But when the large gates were closed, this little eye of the needle, the only way you could get through would be to unladen the camel, to take everything off, get the camel down on its knees and let it scoot through there. And I've had people try and say this. When I was in Jerusalem, I asked the tour guide about this. Is there an eye of the needle in any of these gates? Was that something that happened? And he said, oh, yeah, we've got that. And I haven't got time to take you over there. But, yeah, that exists. And you know what? I just told him, I said, I don't believe that that's what that's talking about. I don't believe there is any eye of the needle. And this guy just looked at me, and then he got me off to the side, and he said, you know what? In Israel, all tour guides are licensed by the government because tourism is one of the biggest industries that they have. And he says, we are just told to give the people whatever they want to make this a great experience for them. And so this is a common belief that there's this gate called the eye of the needle, and we'll tell people, oh, yeah, it's there, but we haven't got time to go see it. He said, the truth is there is no such thing. He says, that's not what that's talking about. And I said, that's what I believe. Because, see, Jesus here, as the disciples, after he said this, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. In verse 26, and they were astonished out of measure. saying among themselves, who then can be saved? They didn't say, oh, well, that means you just got to unladen it and you got to, you know, you have to squeeze through and get rid of these other things. No, they were astonished out of measure because they were thinking of a physical camel going through the eye of a sewing needle. That's what Jesus was talking about. And to prove it, it says in the next verse, verse 26, they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Jesus didn't say that this is difficult. It's hard. You have to unladen the camel and you got to squeeze through. No, he says it's impossible. He wasn't talking about some smaller gate inside of a larger gate. He was saying that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a sewing needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. It's impossible from only a human standpoint. So here's my point in saying all of these things. If you are trusting in money, and this is the real key, if you'd look back in verse 24, it says, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches? It's not the riches. That's the problem. There's nothing wrong with having riches. There's something wrong with riches having you. There's something wrong with you being so dependent upon your job that you can't trust God. You see that job as your source, and you live in fear constantly about whether you're going to be promoted or whether you'll be laid off or whatever. If you're living a life like that, God isn't your source. You need to see God as your source. There's nothing wrong with having riches as long as you aren't trusting in those riches. God wants you to work. The scripture says, I believe it's 2 Thessalonians 3, but it says, if you don't work, don't eat. The Lord wants you to work. You are supposed to be working a job, but you aren't supposed to trust that employer to be your source. Man, there are so many applications of this. You know, we got so many people that are being laid off. They're talking about industries failing. There's bailouts. There's all of these kind of things. And some people just live in mortal fear of whether or not they're going to be able to make it. I'm telling you, if that's what your trust is in that job, in that business, in your retirement. Some of you who have put all of your trust in the money for your retirement instead of in God, right now you're living in torment and fearful. And this is the reason that there's been some billionaires kill themselves because they just couldn't see a way out of their financial trouble and they just tried to escape, not knowing that by killing yourself, you aren't escaping anything. You are entering into the worst situation possible. But there's people today that are tormented because their trust is in money and in what money can do for them and not in God. Now, God uses money. I'm not saying that you don't use it, that you don't have it. There's nothing wrong with being rich, but there is something wrong with trusting in your riches. And let me just make this point, too. There are some people probably who are very poor watching this program and thinking, yeah, those rich people, you know, they're like that. And how dare them trust in their riches. I've known a lot of poor people that have trust in riches. Matter of fact, they can covet and lust for money more than people who have a lot of it. I've known some very wealthy people who had realized that money wasn't going to satisfy them. They had everything they could ever desire, and that wasn't their, it wasn't satisfying them. They turned to the Lord, found their satisfaction in the Lord, and they are actually freer from the trust and the lust of money than some poor people who don't have it, but they constantly are, trying to connive some way or another to get money. They're always buying a lottery ticket. They're always hoping for something. They're just lusting after money continually. You don't have to be rich to trust in money. Really, it doesn't matter rich or poor. Well, it doesn't matter what country you're in. Here's a real easy way to discern whether you are trusting in money. Do you tithe and do you give? There needs to be some explanation on that because I believe that the tithe has been presented as a legalistic work, which is contrary to faith. I'm going to be teaching on that later in this series, and I'll put it into perspective. But tithing is a godly principle. Do you tithe? Do you give? Do you take a portion of what you have and give it away? If you don't, you trust in money more than you trust in God. I don't know how to whitewash that and make it any better than it is. That's exactly what Jesus was saying right here. Money can be a hindrance to you in your relationship with God. You can get to where you are serving money instead of using money to serve you. You can get to where you are held in bondage by fear that you're going to run out of money, when if your faith is in God, you'll never have that fear. And you know, this is something that I've seen among friends of mine, people that I'm close to during this quote-unquote economic crisis. People who their faith is in God, some of them have even lost some money in the market, but it's not a big deal. Their faith isn't in that. They're doing what they feel is necessary to be a good steward and to set aside some money and plan for the future. I'm not saying that you don't do any of that. But if there's a fluctuation and if they lose some money in the stock market or something, they aren't fearful because God's the one that gave them the money in the first place. God can give it back to them. Their faith is in God. It's not in their money. It's not in their portfolio. It's not in what the world system is doing. I can guarantee you these people that are out committing suicide are wishing that they were bold enough, brave enough to commit suicide, but they're running and hiding in fear and they're panicking and they're selling off and they're doing all of these things and their life is a mess. Those people do not trust in God. That's what these verses are saying. I know many of you are mad at me for saying this. I'll get criticism. I'll get mail about this. But all I'm doing is just expanding on exactly what Jesus said. He said, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." I could interpret this to say a rich man who is trusting in his riches to enter into the kingdom of God. If you aren't trusting God in this area of finances, I guarantee you it's hindering you in the kingdom of God. It's hindering you from having a relationship with God. I was in Yucaipa, California many years ago, and I taught on this exact passage of Scripture. I taught on these exact things. And I remember there was probably 200-300 people there, and after I taught on this, I took up an offering. It would be irresponsible to teach on finances and say these things and then not give people an opportunity to act in agreement with what I'd taught. So after I taught on this, I took up an offering. Unless anybody thought that I was teaching on this for selfish purposes, I gave the offering to the pastor of the church. Didn't take any benefit from it. And as they were passing the plates, I was sitting down and the Lord spoke to me and He says, "Watch what's going to happen, because people now have started doing that which is least. They've started trusting me in that which is least. Now look what I'm going to do." And I stood up and I mean miracles started happening. I think it was two deaf people that came up that were totally deaf. One of them had trouble speaking and instantly their ears were open. Miracles started happening. I mean, pains were leaving. People were being healed and delivered, and just miracles started happening. And there were so many things happening that out of these 200 or 300 people, I had 4 people come forward and ask if they could be born again. I didn't give an invitation for it. They just saw the power of God and they knew the reality of God and they wanted to be born again. And you know why all of that broke loose? I was teaching on finances. Most people would think, how could you get people healed preaching on finances? Because these people weren't trusting God in the area of finances. And after I challenged them and received an offering, they took a step of faith and it just took them to a new level. All of a sudden, now because they had done that which is least and had begun to trust God in that which is least, they were starting to see results in other things. I'm telling you, there are some of you that are seeking healing and you see finances as being a separate thing. You say, "Get over teaching on finances. Let's go to talking about healing. Let's get me healed. Let's get rid of this pain." It might be the reaction or the lack of action that you have to what the Word says about finances that is stopping you from receiving your healing. If you can't believe God for finances and trust Him in the area of finances, I believe you're deceived to think that you're trusting Him for your healing of cancer. Cancer is much bigger than finances. Finances is the least area of trusting God. And yet there's people that all the time try and bypass this, and they just want to go straight to, let's get healed. Let's get my family straightened out. Let me get delivered of this depression and emotional problem. And they're trying to believe God for all these things that are infinitely more important. I'm telling you, it's like a ladder. You got to start at the bottom rung and work your way up. You can't just jump from the ground up to the top of a ladder. You got to take that first step. The first step is trusting God in your finances. And just as I experienced at that service in Yucaipa, California many years ago, I believe that there's some of you today that if you would just make a decision that God, your word, the same word that promised me salvation, healing, deliverance, joy, peace, whatever, that same word says, when I give, it shall be given unto me. And from now on, I'm going to go to trusting you. If you would extend yourself, if you would just trust Him and begin to prove Him in this area, you know what? You would see breakthroughs in other areas. If you can do that which is least, then you can do that which is greater. Until you do that which is least, don't expect to do something that's greater. You know, I'm speaking to people all over the world today that, man, there's different cultures, there are different experiences. Some of you see yourself as a depraved culture or a depressed culture, and that you just can't give, and you've seen yourself different than some of the Western people, and you have excuses, but there is no excuse. Basically, you've heard the truth today, and you know what? You just need to give. You need to start giving. And let me give you a piece of advice here. Don't try and make up for 20, 30, 40 years of not trusting God with your finances. Don't try and pay up for all your back ties. Just look at what's in your pocket right now and take 10% and give. Look at what's in your bank account and take 10% and give. You know, I'm going to teach on this more as we go through this series, and I'll be explaining these things in a lot more detail. But instead of trying to make up for decades of not trusting God, just start with what you have right now and just be faithful. And you know, there's many promises in the Word of God. Most of them, it just says you do this and here's what I'll do. But one of the very few times that the Scripture says, trust me, try me, prove me, see if I will not open the windows of heaven. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It's talking about the tithe. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and see if it won't work. Most of the time, God just tells you to do it. He's God, you aren't, do it. But when it comes to finances, the Lord knows that there's so much fear, there's so much insecurity. He condescended to us and He says, prove me, see if it won't work. And I'd like to take that same approach and just challenge some of you that you felt like you couldn't trust these promises. I believe God wants to prove Himself to you. I believe God, if you will take the step of faith and reach out, God is going to do a miracle for you and you could see great things happen. You know, I am going to continue this teaching on our program tomorrow, so I encourage you to listen in then. But also, I want you to get these materials. You need this. And if you know it, well, then you know somebody who does need it. So please get them and share this truth. Listen as our announcer gives you this information. Call or write today, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled Prosperity's First Step is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number T016C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
You know, I ministered a strong word today about you need to prove, you need to do something. And I know that some people will see this as self-serving. I don't mean it that way. But a partnership with this ministry or with your church or with somebody else, you need to do something. And I encourage you to put your money where your mouth is and start trusting God in the area of giving. You know, we have a number on your screen there. You could call, you could inquire about partnership with us, but you need to do something for your sake. You need to act on this word that you've heard today. So we have that number there. I encourage you to pray about it, and if the Lord says so, become a partner with us or get faithful in your church, but start being a giver today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs this week for the Caris Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. He'll also be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, Chicago, Illinois, May 7th through the 9th, and in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th. And in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 12th through the 14th for our Caris Bible College weekend. It's going to be right here in Colorado Springs at our Caris Bible College. And I know that there's many of you that just recognize that there's something more. You don't know exactly where to go. And you know what? Bible college would be an awesome first step. Just to saturate yourself under the Word of God. God speaks to people. People's lives are changed. And so we're going to introduce you to our Bible college. There's actual CBC classes that you'll be sitting in on. You'll have a lunch with the faculty. There's a great time of fellowship. It goes Thursday morning through Saturday noon, March the 12th through the 14th, right here at our facilities in Colorado Springs.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
Really, what makes a person prosperous is whether or not God's blessing is on your life. And you can go through a downturn. Some of you might have experienced a financial loss during this time. But if you are truly trusting in God and not trusting in your riches, then nothing has changed for you, because the blessing of God that got you this money in the first place that you've lost, well, the same God is still with you. His same anointing is on you, and that same God who gave you all of this blessing in the first place can get it back to you. See, when your faith isn't in your assets, it's not in what you possess, but it's in your faith in God. He's the one that gave you what you possess. And if you lost it all, you'll get it back. It's no big deal. I tell you, that is a powerful position to be in. That's a great place to be in, and not very many people live there.